visiting with us. We're so glad you've taken the opportunity to come and worship with us today, and hope you'll come back and be with us every chance that you get. Yes, do everything without complaining. That's what we're going to talk about tonight, or this morning, rather. If you look in the bulletin, the outline in there is for tonight. It's on grandparenting. That's not my sermon this morning. That's much more appropriate for Wilson, I think, him being so much older than I am and can probably deal with that subject a lot better. So that will not be, keep your bulletin, bring it back this evening. Wilson, his plans are to be back for tonight. Good to see everybody remembered to set their clock ahead so nobody was late. Please don't try to catch up with that hour of sleep during the sermon. I would appreciate that as well. There's a little old lady who went into a department store, and she was startled by a band playing and confetti was flying, and the manager steps out and hands her a great big gift bag and a gift card to spend in the store, and he says, "Congratulations, you are the store's 1,000,000th customer." And so all the excitement, a TV camera was focused on her, and she was asked, "What brought you to the store today anyway?" And she hesitated for a moment and said, "Well, I'm looking for the complaint department." It was Mark Twain who said, "Don't complain and talk about all your problems, because 80% of the people don't care and the other 20% probably think you deserve it." As Americans, I think we live in a culture of whiners and complainers. We are among the most blessed people on earth, but we're also, it seems like, among the most unhappy and most discontented people on earth. All of us complain, don't we? Maybe it's the slow driver in front of us, the slow line at the store, the slow service in a restaurant. Have you ever complained about the government? Surely none of us have done that, right? The weather. Some people are chronic complainers. From the time they get up in the morning to the time they go to bed at night, nothing is ever good enough. Nothing is ever fair enough. They complain at home. They complain at work. They complain at every store they shop in and every restaurant they eat in. Some even complain when they come to worship at church. Whether you're a casual complainer or a chronic complainer, today's message is for all of us. And when I say us, very much us, myself included, that we need to not be complainers. Philippians 2, that was read earlier from verse 14 to verse 16, it tells us to do all things without complaining. And I'd like to look this morning at the reasons that Paul gives us why we should not be complainers. First of all, we should not complain in order to obey God. As it's simply stated there, as we just look in Philippians 2 and verse 14, do all things without complaining and disputing. Paul writes that, but he writes that under inspiration from God. It's a command of God, simply stated, don't do it. Do not complain. In all things, do not complain. That's the message from God. It's a command, and if no other reason than God said, don't do it, that's really all that we need to know. But I'm not going to end the sermon there, because I think there's a lot more that can be said concerning this subject. Because we see that when God says not to do something, of course we shouldn't. Parents, have you ever told your children not to do something, and what are they going to do? They always ask that why question. Well, why can't I do it? And what's your answer? The old go-to answer for that is, because I said so. And so why shouldn't we complain? Well, it's simple. God said so. But there's also, I think, other things that we can consider concerning complaining. First of all, when Paul says do all things without complaining, when he says all things, he really means all things. Do your work without complaining. Do your chores without complaining. Do your homework without complaining. Fulfill your responsibilities without complaining. This one's coming up in a few weeks. Pay your taxes without complaining. Serve others without complaining. And most importantly, worship and serve God without complaining. All things without complaining. What we may think of complaining as maybe a bad habit or an annoying habit, in the eyes of God, complaining is sin. Go back to the Old Testament, Numbers chapter 11. We read where the Israelites complained in the wilderness. And as a result, God set the outskirts of the camp on fire. And some of the Israelites were killed because they were complaining. And a few chapters over, in Numbers chapter 16, we read the account where God opened up the earth and swallowed Korah and his band of 250 rebels because they had grumbled and complained against the leadership of Moses. And if those two things shouldn't get our attention about how seriously God looks at complaining, I don't know if anything will. God doesn't look at it as a bad habit. God looks at it as sin. We shouldn't complain if we want to obey God. But there's other things about complaining that makes it wrong. That makes it, I think, leading to other sins. Because you see, when we complain, then we are attacking the sovereignty of God. God is in control. And when we complain about the circumstances that we are in, what we're really saying is, well, if I were God, I would do things differently. That's why complaining really says, isn't it? Because if God is in control of the situation that I find myself in, and God is in control of all things, and then I complain about those things, then I'm saying, well, God's made a mistake here. God's not doing what He needs to be doing. And so to complain means we are attacking the sovereignty of God. We're forgetting when we have complained that God is God and we're not. Another problem with complaining is that it reveals a lack of trust in God. In Exodus chapter 15 and 16, we can go back to those complaining Israelites again and use them as an example. Because when we complain, we're saying, you know, God, I don't trust you. I don't trust that you're going to use my situation to work all things together for my good, the way the Scriptures tell us that God will. We're saying, I don't trust that you will provide what I need to get me through the situation that I'm in. In Exodus chapter 15, we read the Israelites singing a song of victory because God had delivered them from slavery in Egypt. And they were happy, they were rejoicing that they were no longer slaves in Egypt, but now they had been freed, that Moses had led them from that, that God had delivered them. They had crossed the Red Sea as God had parted it. They walked on dry land. When they got through, the pursuing Egyptian army was swallowed up by the Red Sea as the waters kept crashing back down. God performed a great miracle that delivered them. But in verse 22, only 3 days had passed. Only 3 days had passed. And verse 24, and the people complained against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And of course, God solves this problem for them, making the bitter water sweet. But only 3 days after walking through the Red Sea on dry ground, after seeing their enemy destroyed and being delivered from slavery, only 3 days, and they're already complaining because they didn't have water to drink. In chapter 16, in verse 2 and 3, a short time later, it says that the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And it goes on to say that they were saying, hey, we would have been better off, Moses, if you just left us alone. We'd been better off, Moses, if we were still in Egypt as slaves. How can they complain when God had done so much for them? did they really think that God brought them out of slavery just to let them die in the wilderness? Did they really think that God would not provide for them? Oh, it's easy for us to look at these Israelites and criticize them and say, well, what were they thinking? How could they be like that? What about us? Hasn't God done a lot for us? Do we think that God brought us out of slavery of sin and He's not going to provide for us? It's easy for us to criticize these Israelites, but sometimes we can't point the finger back at ourselves and see that we're sometimes guilty of the same things that they were. Another problem with complaining that goes against God is it reveals an attitude of selfishness. When we complain, what we're saying, that things aren't like we want them to be. And it's an attitude, never mind what others may want or what may be in the best interest of others, it's all about me. That's the attitude when we complain. A little perspective here. When Paul wrote Philippians, you remember where he was? Paul was in a Roman prison when he wrote the epistle. And when he says, do all things without complaining, he had plenty he could have been complaining about. He was in prison as he wrote those words, do all things without complaining. If you look back to Philippians chapter 1, and notice what he says here before he gets into the do all things without complaining. In verse 12 of Philippians chapter 1, he says, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all of the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Paul says, I may be sitting in prison, but it's helping other people. It's spreading the gospel. And so what Paul understood was, it's not about me. Paul didn't complain about his situation because he could see the good that was coming from it, not for himself, but for other people. Paul wasn't being selfish. Instead, he understood that it was about spreading the gospel and the good that could come from that. And so he understood this. That's why Paul could sit in prison and say, do all things without complaining. That's why he could sit there and not complain, because he was not selfish. He was looking at what was better for the spreading of the gospel and therefore what was good for other people. Another problem with complaining is it reveals an attitude of discontent. Because as we see that in Philippians 4 and verse 11, Paul also writes there something that I think is very interesting. He says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. The message of Paul there is, it doesn't matter if I'm sitting in prison. It doesn't matter if I have food to eat or if I don't have food to eat. It doesn't matter what situation I find myself in my life. It's where God has put me. It's where God wants me, and therefore I'm going to be content in that situation. As children of God, we are to be content. Now, that does not mean that our circumstances will always be pleasant. It doesn't mean that a situation we find ourselves in life is always going to be something that we like. But it does mean that we're going to trust God. And by faith, we can be content that where we are, it's because God wants us there. And God has put us there. And we can find the good that we can do in whatever situation we find ourselves in our life. Remember, Paul wrote this while in prison. And I think that gives us the perspective to know that we, no matter what, even if it's unpleasant circumstances in our life, can be content if Paul can sit in prison and be able to write such things. So complaining gives us all kinds of problems. But another problem that we see is it's contagious. Remember when the 12 spies came back from the Promised Land? And 10 of them, they gave a bad report. They complained about giants in the land and how they couldn't possibly take the Promised Land. It was like they were saying, well, Moses, you just brought us out here on a wild goose chase in the wilderness. And now we're right there at the Promised Land, but we're never going to be able to go in and take that now. And they complained about that. Complained about the giants. Complained that they would not ever be able to take the land. The complaints of those 10, though, quickly spread, didn't it? It didn't stay just those 10, because when the other people began to hear it, well, they went along with it. And pretty soon, everybody, it seemed like, was complaining, and the entire camp was rebelling against the leadership of Moses. It all started with those 10. And then everyone was rebelling. Because of that complaining, you know, God sent the plague that killed the 10 spies, and every Israelite at that point who was 20 years or older died in the wilderness and never entered the Promised Land. Because of the 10 and their complaining and everyone else then going along with it, we see that they did not enter the Promised Land. Complaining brings about rebellion. It brings about division and disunity. And as we see from this example and a couple others we mentioned a moment ago, that it provokes the anger of God. So when we think about complaining, why we shouldn't complain? Well, easily stated, it's what God told us not to do. But we also see other sins and so many other problems that come from a complaining attitude. When we go back to our text, though, in Philippians chapter 2, we see that Paul gives us something else to think about. We shouldn't complain if we want to grow in godliness. Complaining will hinder our growth. Have you ever heard that drinking coffee will stunt your growth? I've been drinking coffee since I was probably, thanks to my grandfather, about 9 or 10 years old. Just think how tall I could have been, right? Man, I don't think that's true. Actually, I'm pretty sure that's not true. But here's something that is true. Complaining will stunt your spiritual growth. I think that's something that we can say is true. Chronic complaining reveals spiritual immaturity, but not only does it reveal spiritual immaturity, it causes spiritual immaturity. It prevents us from developing to maturity as a Christian. Paul mentions two areas in which we will grow if we put away complaining from our lives. He says there that we will be blameless. Well, what does that mean? Does it mean that we're going to be sinlessly perfect? That's not what Paul's saying. What he's saying is it means that we'll be above reproach. It means that no one be able to criticize us as a troublemaker, as one who causes division. We won't be called a whiner or a divisive person. That we will be blameless. And then he says we will be harmless. If you're a chronic complainer, you will probably have caused a lot of hurt along the way in your life and a lot of problems that have been left behind you. Chronic complainers can cause harm and problems in every place that they work or in the classroom, at school, on a team that they play on, in every organization they belong to. Chronic complainers leave problems behind. But more importantly, they can also leave problems in every church they become members of. Churches can divide over complaints, and we need to make sure that we aren't feeding into that. We'll be blameless. We'll be harmless. No one can call us divisive or things like that if we avoid complaining. When we grow and mature as children of God, we don't want to be the cause of harm. And if we don't want to be the cause of harm, then one step to that is to stop complaining. Something else that Paul points out is we should not complain in order to be good examples to the world. If you look there at verse 15 again, he makes this point that we are to be as lights in the world. He says that we will shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Notice that contrast that Paul makes between the world and Christians. The world is a very dark place, and Christians shine in that darkness. Christians give light in the darkness. The world is crooked and perverse and dark place because it doesn't know God, because it doesn't believe God, because it doesn't obey God. On the other hand, Christians do know God. Christians do believe in God. Christians do obey God. And so the contrast there is clear. But when we are a chronic complainer, it dims our light in the darkness of the world. It keeps us from being the influence that we should be in the world. And it hinders our example and our influence because we become as the unbelievers of the world. It doesn't set us apart as being different. And therefore, if we want to be the proper example and influence that we can on other people, we need to get rid of the complaining in our life. Think about it for a moment. If you're not a Christian, and you know someone who says they're a Christian, but all they ever do is go around and complain about everything, what about that would be appealing to you to want to learn more about what that person has as far as a religious aspect? Say, if all he's doing is complaining, he's not a happy person. Why would I want that? What kind of influence can we have on our neighbors, on our co-workers, on our friends who aren't Christians? What kind of influence can we have if all they hear is a negative, complaining attitude in us all the time? If we want to be the proper influence and be able to lead others to Christ, this is something we need to understand. So we have a choice. We have to choose to either ignore God's word and go on being a complainer and knowing that in doing so we're disobeying God and we're hindering our spiritual growth and we are hindering our influence and damaging our influence as a Christian to the world around us. Or we can make the choice to make a commitment to the Lord, to stop being that chronic complainer, to see the positive things in our life. How do we stop doing that? As we sung earlier, wake the dawn with praises. Praise God. Turn that complaining into praise. Replace the negative with the positive. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 22, Paul and Silas, Paul found himself in prison again. With Silas, they had been beaten. They had been put in the inner part of the prison. They had been fastened into stocks. Again, if Paul ever had anything to complain about, now would be the time. Because the reason he was put in prison was not because he had done something terrible. It was because he had performed a miracle. It was because he was teaching the gospel. And it was because people were against him because of that. That's what led to the beating. That's what led to him being put in prison. In verse 25 of Acts 16, it says, at midnight, Paul and Silas were complaining. That's not what it says. Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. You want to stop complaining? Start praising. Start praying. That's what Paul and Silas did. They didn't complain because they were too busy praising God and praying to Him. And that's how we overcome complaining, is to put our focus on God. As I said before, we are among the most blessed people in the world, just as Americans. Let's take that a little bit deeper. As children of God, how much more blessed are we to have that relationship with God as His children? How much more so do we think about having forgiveness of our sins, having hope of eternal life, having all those things that God has blessed us with? When we think about complaining, let's think about those things. Let's think about how blessed we are. And let's praise God and be thankful to Him for that. Every morning, as we see the sun rise, let's keep this in mind. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. You know, if I wake up every morning and I think about that, if I wake up every morning and that's my attitude, that this is the day that God has given me, I'm going to be glad. I'm going to be happy. I'm going to rejoice in it. We'll overcome, be able to overcome those temptations to complain about the bad things that we experience, because we'll focus on the fact that God has given us another day, that He has blessed us greatly, and He will continue to bless us in the things that we do. Do all things without complaining. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, we hope that you will consider your relationship with God and see that you need to make the change. Repent of your sins and be baptized to become a child of God. And we certainly hope that you will do that this morning. If you as a Christian have been unfaithful to God, ask Him to forgive you and repent of those sins. And if your sin is of a public nature, you'd like the prayers and encouragement that we can give you as your brethren, we stand ready to help you in any way that we can. We invite you to come while we stand and sing.